This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and I trust the program will be an encouragement to you and perhaps even challenge you. Now, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can email prayer requests from the website, and you can contact me by regular mail. So you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down, which I will give to you at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at the names and titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're going to look at today might be considered a title rather than a name, because we're going to look at the Lord Jesus as the Word. We've touched on this before in these programs, but it's a very important way of looking at the Lord. We know that names are very important. They involve authority, they involve reputation, they involve character. We know that we can sign our name to a check, and that gives a bank authority to release funds. We know that when we are in a particular community and people talk about particular families by their name, that has to do, they often think of the reputation that family has in that community. If we go to a bank and talk to them about certain people, they'll say they don't pay their bills. It has to do with their character. And in some cases, they are a people of fine character. They never lie. They never cheat. They never harm their neighbors. They help others. And so the character is involved in the name of the person. And so when we look at the Lord, we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we get some understanding of who he is by looking just at the word Lord, which means master or mister. Jesus, which means Savior, and Christ, which means the Anointed One. And of course, we've gone through prophecies from the Old Testament that were fulfilled when Christ came in the New Testament, which has to do with that name, Christ, the Anointed One. He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies, and he was pointed out by God at his baptism as the one who was the Anointed One of God, the one who pleased the Father, who had come to do the Father's will and to fulfill those Old Testament promises. He was the one who came to be our Savior. Now, this program is going to be heard on Palm Sunday. That's the day that the Lord made what is called his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And there was a crowd there wanting to make him king. He rode into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass. But if we follow that story through by the next Friday, he had been rejected, and he was crucified on Friday. And then on the next Sunday, a week from today, will be Easter. We call it Easter, which is really a name I don't like to use. It's Resurrection Sunday. And on that day, the Lord was raised from the dead. And because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and because he was seen alive after his resurrection by many people, he was shown to be alive after many infallible proofs. Because of that, we can depend on his word, on the word that he has left behind and on the promises that he has made. So we need to pay special attention to his title or his name as the Word. As the Word, he's not only the message of God, he's the messenger who brings that message to us. And if we were to go to Hebrews chapter 6, we would find out that it is impossible for him to lie. There it says that by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Now, that reference has to do with promises made to Abraham. He gave Abraham a promise that he would have a son, and he gave him a promise that his offspring would be like the sand on the seashore for multitude, or like the stars in the sky for multitude. He gave Abraham a promise, and then he confirmed it with an oath. Now, we have the God's promise with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in saving us. We have his promise and we have an empty tomb. So we too have a God who has not lied to us, who will not lie to us. And the things that he said would come to pass in the Lord's life have come to pass. And the things that he says will come to pass, having to do with the Lord's second coming, will come to pass. And the important thing that will come to pass is that everyone who believes the word that God has given us, the word that we read of in John's gospel, that those people have everlasting life and they'll be forever in heaven with the Lord. The Lord tells us in John chapter 14, and we can depend on it, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He does not lie. And it's nice when we have things in concrete form, in a contractual form or book form, that we can go back and read and reread to make sure we understand what the promises of God really are. Now in John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that first statement encompasses an awfully lot. There is no beginning as far as eternity is concerned. I don't understand that, and I'm not going to try to explain it. But if we look at eternity as a concept, there is no beginning to it. So what beginning are we talking about here? Well, it's the beginning of what we understand about God. If we were to read a story to our children, oftentimes fables, although this is not a fable, this is true, the story might start out once upon a time. And in a sense, that's what we're reading here. Once upon a time was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so it's just a way of saying that as we begin our story, we want you to understand that the story begins with Christ. And we'll find out if we go to the book of the Revelation, it ends with Christ. The Word was with God. So we do find out that right away, God is composed of more than one person. The Word was with God. And we find out in Genesis chapter 1 that there's a Father and there's a Holy Spirit. And we find out that here the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator. So while it's not clearly stated in Genesis chapter 1, it appears that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all involved in creation. But we find out in the third verse here, that all things were made through Christ, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So he's the creator. He's the one who gives life. It's interesting that all we know about God, we see through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it either manifested to us or given to us as the name Jehovah in the Old Testament, the covenant name of the covenant and personal name of the God of Israel, or we see him as Jesus in the New. And so we find out that no man has seen God, that is God the Father, any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, who is intimately connected to the Father, he hath declared him. So again, the Word is declaring God to us. We don't see God the Father, we see Christ. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, either in his pre-incarnate glory or with his glory veiled as a man. John chapter 1 then, in the beginning was the Word, in the beginning was Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was with God, the Word was God. That couldn't be clearer, that the Lord Jesus Christ is in fact God. He's divinity, he's divine. Now John chapter 1 verse 2 says he was in the beginning with God, and so that means that he's eternal. He didn't have his beginning in Bethlehem. He had his beginning in eternity. All things were made through him, And without him, nothing was made that was made. He's the one who gives life, and his word still gives life. We read in John 5 and 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." So he gives life spiritually, and he'll not come into condemnation, but he is passed from death unto life. So again, the word of God gave life in the first creation, and it's the word of God that gives life spiritually when we look at the new creation that comes about when we trust in the Lord Jesus. And so there are two creations in the Bible. There's the first creation that fell into sin, but when we look at those of us who have trusted in Christ, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's Ephesians 2 and verse 10. So as we begin to look at the Lord Jesus as the Word, he expresses God to us. He's eternal. He's the Creator. His Word gives life. John 1 and verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And that's the statement in John chapter 1 that makes it quite clear that the Word that we're talking about is a manifestation of God, and that manifestation of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was full of grace and truth. He was controlled by grace and truth. His grace is seen in the things he says. His grace is seen in his willingness to die for our sins, his forgiving spirit. And everything he says is true. His word was with authority, his word was gracious, and his word was true. And wouldn't it be nice if we could pattern our speech much like the Lord's, and everything we say, we would say could be supported by the facts, it would be with authority, and that everything we say would be gracious. We wouldn't have words coming out of our mouth that stir up strife and division, but we would have words coming out of our mouth that unify and bless. That doesn't mean that the gospel is not seen as confrontational by a sinner who does not want to accept a Savior. But at the same time, the message itself might not be acceptable, but the person who delivers the message should not make it unacceptable by their behavior. And we want people to know that what we tell them is the truth, and it is true that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And I hope you believe that today. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today. We ask you to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.